This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Perek Chaf Mishnah Gimel. We know that a metal utensil is susceptible to tumah even if it is not a container, but a wooden utensil is only susceptible to tumah if it has a base kibble that functions somehow as a container. Yet if a flat, non-container wooden utensil is attached to a metal utensil, and the wooden portion somehow contributes to the function of the metal utensil, then even the wooden portion is susceptible to tumah based on the concept of a yad. It is that since, again, it serves the metal utensil, it, for example, serves as a handle, it therefore becomes susceptible to tumah like the metal portion. And so as long as they're attached, if either part becomes tumah, the other will be tumah as well. The Mishnah discusses, makel she'aso beis yad lekordo, a stick that somebody used as a temporary handle for an axe. So he took this stick and stuck it into an axe blade, but this is only a temporary solution. He did not fasten the stick in any kind of permanent way into the blade. The Mishnah rules in such a case, chibur letumah b'shas melacha. We recognize a halachic connection between the stick and the metal blade that makes even the wooden portion subject to tumah, but only when the axe is actually in use. So if while in use, some metumasaurus touched either part of the wooden or metal part, then the whole thing, the metal of the wood, becomes tumah. But as soon as he puts down the axe, he's not using it, since the assumption is that he's not going to keep the stick in there, he's going to take it apart. So halachically, they're already judged as separate from each other. Again, as soon as he's not using the axe, and therefore we would not be able to say that the wood part is susceptible to tumah as a yad to the metal part, no, they would lose that connection. The Mishnah discusses a certain type of frame called the diyostar, which consisted of an upright wooden stick with two holes in it, one on top of the other. Metal rods were inserted into the holes, and then we would take a freshly spun thread and wrap it around the metal rods. Helps them to work with the threads. So again, it's another situation in which you have this wooden stick. The stick by itself is not something that's mekabel tumah, but it's pshutei kliyeitz. It's a non-container wooden utensil, but the metal rods are stuck through the rod. So what is the status of this frame? The Mishnah says that here too, hadiyostar chibur letumah b'shas melacha. We recognize a connection between the metal rods and the stick so that this frame does become susceptible to tumah, but for only as long as the diyostar is actually in use. When it's not in use, it's not kept together, one takes it apart, and therefore that halacha connection is lost. The Mishnah says, if, however, kivah b'klonas, one set this diyostar frame into a thick wooden post, tame, the entire diyostar frame is susceptible to tumah, even when it's not in use. For by attaching the wooden stick with the rods to insert it into it at different levels, by inserting all of that into this klonas, this thick wooden post, it shows that the person intends to keep this frame assembled permanently, and thus the wooden stick and the metal rods are one entity. All that together is susceptible to tumah, even if the diyostar is not currently being used. However, ve'eino chibalo, as far as the post that the diyostar frame is set into, that's not considered halachically connected to the diyostar. In other words, if the post is made of wood, and some tumah source touches the post does not become tame, and certainly not the diyostar frame. The point is, we do not say that the post is considered a yad of the diyostar, and therefore halachically connected to it, because the post doesn't actually contribute to the function of the diyostar. It's just supporting it. It doesn't actually assist with what the diyostar itself does, which is to hold up the threads. So as far as the halacha is concerned, the wooden post, the klonas, is a separate entity. So again, since you're by itself, it's simply just pshutei kliyeitz. It's a non-container wooden utensil. It is not subject to tumah, and nor will it become tameh if the diyostar becomes tameh. The Mishnah says, if asa bo diyostar, if the person made the wooden post itself, the klonas, into the diyostar, meaning instead of using a thin wooden stick and putting holes in that and putting the metal rods in there, he made holes going through the thick post and stuck metal rods into those holes to create this diyostar frame. The halacha is, ein tamei el tzarcho. only the particular section of the wooden post where the metal rods are inserted are subject to tumah, but the other sections, you know, above and below where the metal rods are not subject to tumah. We do not deem those sections as a part of this dioster frame, as they really aren't necessary. And therefore, those sections of the wooden post would not be susceptible to tumah. The Mishnah discusses another situation in which somebody took something and attached it to a wooden post. The Mishnah says, regarding kisei shekavol beklonos, if somebody nailed a chair into a wooden post to keep it fixed in place, tameh. The chair remains susceptible to tumah. The fact that it was permanently nailed into the wooden post doesn't change that, because the chair is still functional. You can still sit in the chair. However, the Mishnah says, ve'eino chibrelo. We do not say that the wooden post could now become tameh, based on an argument that maybe the post should be considered a yad of the chair, therefore, you know, they're connected in that way. We do not say that because the fact is the post does not contribute to the functioning of the chair. So as far as the halacha is concerned, the post remains a separate entity, since the post itself is pshutikli eitz, is a wooden non-container. It is not mekabel tumah. The Mishnah says, let's say asa bo kisei. Somebody carved out a seat in the post itself. Like, let's say you have this big post lying horizontally and you cut out a section of the post and made that into a seat. Similar to the case of the dioster, where the person put the metal rods into the post itself. Here, where he made a seat in the post itself, the halacha is ein tameh ela makomo. Only the place of the seat has the halachic status of a seat and therefore is subject to tumah, but the rest of the wooden post are not mekabel tumah. Although those sections are physically connected to the seat portion, they don't, again, contribute anything to creating the seat, and therefore they're halachically not part of it. So as far as the sections other than the actual section where the seat is, we deem those other sections as non-container wooden utensils, so they're not mekabel tumah. Another case where somebody attached a chair to another wooden object, Mishnah says, if kevo bekoras beis habat, so somebody attached a chair to the heavy beam used in an olive press, the halacha is that even though practically the chair is no longer going to be used as a chair, because doing so would interfere with the ability to operate the olive press, tameh. Nonetheless, the chair is still susceptible to tumah, because it started out as a perfectly functioning halacha kli. The fact that it was attached to something else in a way that practically one is not going to continue using it the way it was used previously does not cause the item, this chair, to lose its halachic identity. It's still considered a chair. Not enough was done for that identity to go away, and therefore the chair is still mekabel tumah. So if a zav sat on that, the chair would have tumas midras. Yet ve'ein chibrela, we do not say that the beam is meaningfully connected to the chair, so that if the chair becomes tameh, the beam also be tameh. No, for the beam is not a yad of the chair. It doesn't contribute to the ability to use the chair. The opposite, the attachment to the beam inhibits the usage of the chair. So halachically, the beam and the chair are not connected. The Mishnah says, if asa berosha kisei, if somebody carved out a seat in the olive press beam itself, halach is tahar. The entire beam, even the seat portion, is not susceptible to tumah. Mipnesha omrin lo amod v'nasas melachteinu. Because if one would actually attempt to sit in the portion that was made into a chair, others would say, get up, what are you doing? We have to do our work. We have to operate the olive press. So in contrast to the earlier case where a seat was created in a big wooden post, where sitting in that section does not interfere with using the post. So in that case, therefore, we said, okay, a seat was created in that section, so that section is mekabel tumah. But here, since from its inception, this seat that someone attempted to make did not create something which practically will be used as a seat, forget it, it interferes with the operation of the olive press. We therefore say a functional chair was not actually created. This is not considered a halacha kli. So even that section, the seat portion that was created in the olive press beam, is not considered a halacha kli, is not mekabel tumah. In the earlier case, where somebody took an already functional chair and attached it to the olipress beam, there we said that although, practically speaking, it will be difficult to use the chair because that interferes with the operation of the olipress, but since the chair already had its own identity, it was then attached to the olipress beam, so there it's a question of, does the chair lose its identity? The answer is no. The fact that there's a conflict now, you're not going to want to use the chair because you want to use the beam to press the olives, does not take away the chair's halachic identity. Whereas if it's a question here of creating an identity of a chair, if that's done in a way that you're practically, you can't use this as a chair, then no such identity is created. And so again, that section of the olive beam will not be mekabel tumah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.